Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Bet by the two dots. The Mishnah tells us that by a boar, one is patur for the kelim that break inside of the boar. So here the Gemara says about that, Nafal de tocho shor v'chilav nishtabru v'chulei. Matanitin de loka Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah cannot be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda mechayev on this kelim v'boar. Because Rabbi Yehuda believes that you are culpable, you are liable for kelim that break inside of a boar. My time at the Rabbanan, what's the reason behind the Rabbanan that believe that you are patur mikelim damakra? V'nafal shama shor or chamor, this is the limud that we've seen many times, shor v'lo adam, that the obligation or the liability with regards to the boar is for a shor that dies there, but not an adam, chamor v'lo kelim, and a chamor that dies there, but not kelim that die there, we'll see in a second what it means, kelim that die there. Rabbi Yehuda, oh, they're both at the kelim. Rabbi Yehuda says that there's an extra word, an extraneous word, or O. It says, V'nafal shama shor O chamor. That O teaches you that also kelim are included in what you are liable for, Rabbanan. O mi bayile, they need that, l'chalek, to separate. Because otherwise you would have thought that you're only chayav when nafal shama shor v'chamor. A shor and a chamor. Once both of them are there, then you'd be chayav. But if one of them alone was in there, you would not be chayav. So the pasuk says, shor o chamor, to teach you that either or would be sufficient to make you liable for the damages that are done. V'Rabbi Yehuda lechalek minafal nafko. He learns it out from the word v'nafal. Nafal is written in the singular form. And says in the singular form, v'nafal shama shor o chamor. So if it's written in the singular, then obviously it should be read as v'nafal shama shor. Or benafal shama chamor, but not both of them together. Rabbanan benafal tuva mashma. Just because you're written in the singular form in Tanakh does not mean that it's limited to one, because the word in Tanakh, many times a word with a singular conjugation, is used to mean many, and Rashi brings a number of examples of that. Kamo vasa b'tzalel v'oholiyav, that they made the Mishkan, and it uses the word vasa, even though it's speaking about b'tzalel and oliyav, which are obviously more than one person. Uva'ot v'amofet, u'bahari v'etadov. So you see many times that a verb is used in a singular form, even though it's referencing multiple items. And so to over here, the word nafal is used in that same vein, which you can't learn from it that it means the singular item and not many. The Balei Tosafot point out over here that there is actually a machloket, other places in Shas, between Rabbi Shaya and Rabbi Yonatan. They argue about when you have a list of items and there's a vav chibur between them, when you have that list, does it mean and or does it mean or? And so the same thing would be apparent over here, which is that you have v'nafal shama shor v'chamor. Had it not written the word o, it would be shor v'chamor. How would you read that? Would you read that shor and a chamor? Or would you read that shor or a chamor? That is their machloka throughout Shas. We actually paskin like Rabbi Yonatan, which is that the vav means an or, and you don't need any additional information to teach you to separate between the items. Yet our Gemara over here, at least according to the Rabbonon, says that you need the o to lechalek, to separate. Had it not had the word o, we would have thought shor v'chamor come in a single package, and it means and not or. But yet we paskin like Rabbi Yonatan, whenever you have a vav chibur, it would have been o or. So why do we need the extra word o over here? Tosafot leaves it as a tzarachiyun, because he thinks that, based on the fact that Rava favors the position of Rabbi Yonatan, the halacha should be like Rabbi Yonatan. Yet our Gemara seems to be following Rabbi Ushaya. The Rosh does bring, the name is Rabbi, the Maram Mirutenberg. It may be because of the fact that it says, Lo tachorosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. The pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to plow with a shor and chamor together. So there already the Torah indicates to you that shor and chamor are considered to be a unit that comes together. And since that's there, natural state or default state within Tanakh, to be shor v'chamor, to be a single unit, then we would have assumed the same here, unless you have something stating otherwise, and that even Rabbi Yonatan in this case would agree that you need something to separate between them, and it's not sufficient that you have a vav between them. So now the Gemara continues and said, well, if you look at the structure of the psukim, why don't we say that we actually have here a klal uprat? Because it says v'nafal, which is a general statement of anything that falls there, then shor v'chamor prat, it gives you the detail or the explanation of what fell there as a shor chamor. Kalalu prat, whenever you have a general statement and then a specific statement afterwards, ein bichlala mashiv prat. The pratim, the details that come afterwards, are coming to qualify or define the kalal that was stated before. And that would indicate shor v'chamor in midi achrina lo, that you should only be chayav in a bor for shor v'chamor and nothing else. So amre bala bor yishalem chazer v'kalal. Bekalal. That the continuation in the next pasuk, which says, Bala bor yishalem kesef yashiv lebala v'meiti elo, That's another kalal, because it says there, balabor yishalim, that he has to pay for everything. So klal uprat uklal. Now we're dealing not with a general statement and a detail, but rather a general statement, a detail, and another general statement. In that case, you include anything that is similar to the details that are written between the two klalim. Ma prat mifurash balei chayim, afko balei chayim. What is the common trait or character between these shor and chamor? That is the fact that they are balei chayim, that they are live animals. So therefore, anything that is a live animal, you'd be chayav for. Ima prat mifurash davar shenivlata mitama b'magal masa. You would think that also a common denominator between a shor and a chamor is that they are mitamei nevela. When they die without a shechita, they are a nevela. And as a nevela, they're mitamei both b'maga, if you come into contact with it, as well as b'masa, if you carry it. Av kol davar shenivlata mitama b'magal masa. So therefore, we'd only include other items that have that similar trait, which is tumat nevela or tumat magal masa avalofot lo. But that is not true by birds, because birds do not have tumah, with the exception of of tahor, which has a din of tumah when it's swallowed in the beta blia. But otherwise, ofot don't have a din of nevela and don't have a din of tumat magal masa. So then, maybe ofot should not be included, or you would not be chayav for ofot to fall into the boar. Where it says imkein arichtov rachmana chad prata. If that was the case, the Torah should have just written or shor or chamor, so not both of them together. The fact that it wrote both of them together already means that birds are included. The Gemara says, hey, nichtov, which one do you want to write alone? Ikatov shor, had it just written shor, avamina kareiv the gabi mizbeach, in sheno karei the mizbeach, lo, only things that end up on the mizbeach would you be chayav for. Things that do not end up on the mizbeach, you would not be chayav for. Ikatov rachmana chamor, had the Torah just written the word chamor, avamina kadosh bibichora, in Shena Kadosh b'Bechorah lo, only things that have Kedushat B'Chorah, because the Chamor also has Kedushat B'Chor, like the Behemot HaTeherot. So it also has a Din of B'Chor. Maybe that would be a character trait that you would require in order to be Chayav. Therefore, the Torah wrote both Shor and Chamor to dispel that, because the Chamor does not end up in the Mizbeach. They do have the common denominator of both of them being B'Chor, so that would not suffice, and therefore the Gemara has to come up with an alternative answer. Tosafot over here asks, why is it that the Gemara goes through these great lengths to find the limud here? Why doesn't it just learn Gzeira Shoba of Shor, Shor from Shabbat, or Chamor, Chamor mi Shabbat? Because we're going to see later on in today's daf that many of these items are learnt in that method of Gzeira Shoba. And being learnt as Gzeira Shoba, you could have learned from the Shabbat that all these behemoth or all animals are included. The Baal Tosafot in the end say that we'd much rather learn from a Klal Uprat Uchlal, rather than a Gzeira Shoba. If we have the limud of Klal Uprat Uchlal, and we have the opportunity to learn in that manner, we prefer that method rather than a method that involves this Gzeira Shoba or a Giloy Milta from the Gemara in Shabbat. And so that's what the Gemara is doing here. It's trying to find a better or easier limud that does not require us to learn it from Shabbat. El Amakra, Pasuk says, V'meitilo, kol davar mita. So that's the answer of the Gemara in the end is, what is included here, or what is subsumed under the liabilities of boar, is anything that dies. Anything that dies, you will be responsible for. So that would include a fault, that would include any item, including a beima chaya of ben Rabbanan dekamemait lehug de kelim, uben Rabbiuda dekamerabi lehug de kelim. Whether according to Rabbanan who say that kelim are not included in what you're liable for in a boar, or Rabbi Yehuda who says that they are included in what you are liable for in a boar, kelim b'nei mita ninu. How are kelim included in this scenario over here? Why are kelim included? They're a meiti elo. What is that shayach by kelim? Amrei shviratam zohi mitatan. That is the answer, that the breaking of the kelim is their death, because they no longer have their original utility associated with them, and that's the equivalent of them dying. And therefore, that is considered to be mita, and that's why you're chayav for kelim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why you are patur mi kelim for the chachamim, or why the Torah had to go out of its way to be mimayet. So had it not been mimayet, kelim would have been subsumed under mita. Along comes the miut of Chamor to tell you that there is no Chiyuv Kelim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a little harder to understand what the Gemara is asking over here. Rabbi Yehuda thinks you are Chayav B'Kelim. So then why is the Gemara asking about Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Rabbi Yehuda is coming to tell you that he is Mirabe Kelim because he wouldn't have included them had it just been for Amei Elo. So Tosafot says that Rabbi Yehuda accepts fundamentally what the Chachamim say, that the Pasuk from Chamor would have excluded Kelim, and that Kelim would have been included from the word Mita, would have been excluded from Chamor, had it not been from the word O, that comes to include it. So therefore, he's not arguing about the fundamental case as to whether Kelim are included in Mita or not. He agrees with the Chachamim that they are included. and they would have been excluded from Chamor, but he adds the Ribuy of, oh, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we still need to know why there's Mita by Kelim, just like we need to know by the Chachamim, and that is, as the Gemara says here, Shviratam hi Mitatan. Udrav damar bor shechayva alav Torah. And we saw in the machlok between Rav and Shmuel with regards to what the liability by a boar is. Shmuel thought that both the bad quality air as well as the impact were what you were chayav for. But Rav on the other hand believed that it was only lahavlo, only for the bad quality air, but not for the impact. Then ben rabbanan ben rabbi Yehuda, kelim b'nei havla ninu. Since when are kelim subject to the bad quality air? How does that impact on the kelim? We understand how impact or crashing on the floor would have caused them to break, but why would the bad quality air cause problems for them? Amrei b'chadate de mifkei mahavlo. Talking about brand new kelim that would be affected or impacted by the bad quality air, and that causes them to crack or to shatter because they have not been hardened by usage yet, and therefore the hevel can't have an impact on it. Vai meiti elo mi bailei kederova. Now, vai meiti elo we've used already for a number of drashot. We had early in the Masechta Vameiti Elo to teach us who has to deal with the Pchat Nevela. We just had back on Nun Aleph that Rova's Drosha, which the Gemara is bringing over here, Mibalek the Rova, Damarova, Shor Psulei Mugdashim, Shnafal the Bor Patur. If you have Shor Psulei Mugdashim that falls into a Bor, how do you know that the Bala Bor is Patur? Shnemar Vameiti Elo, Bemit Shameit Shelo. That only works when the case where the mate remains, or the value of the mate remains, and you can get some benefit from it. Yatzazeh, Shein Meit Shelo. That's not true by a shor psulei mukdashim. Again, the case is either by a bechor that has a mum in it, or we're talking about kodashim mizbeach that got a mum and were already redeemed. So here the owner can utilize them, can eat them, but there are limitations of what he can do. One of those limitations is lochlecha v'lo lekavecha, that you can eat it, but you can't give it to your dogs, meaning that you can eat it, but if it's a nevela, then you cannot give it to your dogs. That's part of the higher standard that we're going to hold you to because it was once mikudash. It was once good mizbeach. And so there, she'eh meita ye'elo means that you should be able to get benefit or garner the hana'ah from the mate. In the case of psulei mikdashim, that's not true. So that comes to tell you that by psulei mikdashim, you will not be chayav in a bor because it can't fulfill va'meita ye'elo. Tell on my cross, so that can't be the solution here. Kesef yeshiv leba'alav. That's the ribuy over here, that you will return the compensation, the diminution in value to the owners. There are both kotit lehei balim. It comes to good anybody who has an owner, or anything that has an owner to it. So Mar says, yachi afilu kelim v'adam nami. So then, if that's the case, then you're talking about anything that has an owner, then adam and kelim should also be liable by the boar. So amakra, shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. This is the limud of the chachamim, that ain't ochanami. Everything is included. The reason that it's not included over here is because we have a specific miut that says shor and not adam that dies in there, and chamor and not kelim that die in there. And we know that the dying of the kelim is shviratan, when they break. So when it comes to the kelim, Rabbi Yehuda says that by kelim you are chayav in bor, then I understand by shor that he excludes adam. Shor velo adam. Ella chamor my meitbe. What does he do with the word chamor? So ella amarovo chamor the bor the Rabbi Yehuda. V'sed avayidal the divya kol kasha. And when it comes to the word chamor by the din of bor for Rabbi Yehuda, we don't know what he does with that quote unquote extraneous word. We don't know what type of limud he has to exclude what. The Balei Tosafot over here have a suggestion from Rabbi Moshe Mipuntaiza that maybe we could say chamor velo shtarot. That maybe chamor comes to exclude a shtar. But Marie, the Rebbe says, the man de lo doin dinig de garmi, afilu atzmo patur. That according to the one who says that you're not doin dinig de garmi, then you're patur. It has nothing to do with the reason that it's chamor velo shtarot. It's independently patur because this is garmi and not a direct damage. Because the damage of the shtar is not what we're after here. We're not after the inherent value of the shtar. We're after what the shtar would have granted you the right to collect. And so therefore, if it's destroyed in the boar, then it's only an indirect or a garmi type of damage. So the man dan dinei garmi nami no mechayev elam midrabanan. And even if you say that dinei de garmi you're chayav, and therefore you would need chamor over here to exclude shtarot, the din of garmi or the fact that you are chayav by garmi is only a din derabonon. And since it's only a din derabonon, you obviously don't need a pasuk or a word chamor to tell you that you're not chayav in this case. So therefore, the reed dispels that possibility of using chamor and not shtarot. Even though there is an opinion like the Chiddushei Ramban who believes that Dain din negami is chayav midoraita, and therefore it is a Torah law, and maybe it would require a miut for shtarot. Nevertheless, Kilat Yaakov has a pilpul here as to explain why, even according to the Ramban, there wouldn't be a necessity to exclude shtarot through chamor because of the nature of the damage here, where it's not the boar itself that is doing the damage, but rather the boar causes one to then be damaged by another item, the equivalent of tripping over the boar and then hitting yourself on the area past the boar, where the bala boar would not be chayav. And therefore also over here, v'lo asa boar, le inyan michshol v'goreim, shuvsad sham etzel alove, v'dino k'nafal l'achorei boar chutz l'boar d'patur. So he compares it to that case, and therefore says you're not chayav over here. So that word, we don't know what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do with it, even though, based on what the Baalei Tosafot said earlier, he accepts the position of the Chachamim, and his O comes to offset the din of Chamor. So you could have argued then, oh, Chamor is to exclude Kelim, and the O is the Rabot Kelim. So if that's the case, then don't write O and don't write Chamor, and then you won't have any problem by Kelim. The other time that we have the same thing is said the Aveda, the Divya Kol Kasha. Also by the Psukim of Aveda, where it talks about someone losing an item in Dvarim per Chavbet, it says, V'chein tase lechamoro, V'chein tase lesimlato, V'chein tase lechol aveidat achicha asher tovad mimenu, umetzaato lo tuchal leitalein. So since it says, V'chein tase lechol aveidat achicha, that really is an inclusive term that includes everything. So then, why do you need this specification of different items along the way? In Pasuk Aleph there it says, Lo tiret shor achicha v'etzeyo nidachin v'italamta mehem. And later on, as we read, V'chein tase lechamoro, V'chein tase lesimlato. So you have four items that are specified in the Psukim there, despite the fact that it says, V'chein tase lechol v'edat achicha. So there, the Gemara in Elo Metziot, in Bava Metzia, darshins from each one of these words something significant, with the exception of the word seyo, which it doesn't have anything to learn from. And that's what Rava is pointing out over here, that the chamor here, by the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Seyo, by the Inyan Aveda, going to everyone, we don't know what these extraneous words are coming to teach us, or what drasha comes out of these words. Now the Gemara continues, Nafal tocho shor cheresh shoteh v'katan chayav. Gemara says, what exactly is the story here? My shor cheresh shoteh v'katan. Ilema shor shel cheresh, shor shel shoteh, shor shel katan. I mean, these are oxen that are owned by these particular individuals, who are not necessarily responsible or can be held liable, ha-shor shel pikeach patur, then you're going to say, or to the exclusion of the fact that a shor that's owned by someone who is capable, that then he would be patur. Why, if the owner is capable and is responsible, are you patur? When the owners are irresponsible, then you are chayav. What should be the correlation, or what does that have to do with the nature of the owner? So Rabbi Yochanan, I know the explanation is, as we explained it in the Mishnah, shor shu cheresh, shor shu shoteh, shor shu katan. The shor that is either a cheresh shoteh v'katan, whether the Gemara is just using this because it's a borrowed term where normally these items come together, cheresh shoteh v'katan, but the basic idea is this is a shor shoteh. This is a shor that doesn't have the proper instincts or is not working with full capacities. And that's why we have a problem here, because this is a shor that you can't have the normal expectations about. Now, whether that has impact, meaning shor cheresh, shor shoteh, we can understand. Shor katan is harder to understand, even though the Meiri suggests that the shor katan is a shor that has yet to be taught how to plow. And when they teach him how to put on a yoke and to plow, then they also teach him some of the basic instinct items about what to watch out for or dangers. Or maybe it's mature enough at that point to understand what dangers lurk. And when they're younger, they don't understand the dangers that are involved. Because of that, in any of these situations, the bala boar is chayav, because these animals would not have distanced themselves from the damaging item, the boar that is found there. Hashor should be keach patur. So now you're going to say to us now that a shor that has full capacities and full instincts, you're patur for? Why? So I'm revere me alo mi bayi kamar. It's telling you not only. Not only by a shor that's a pikeach, of course you are chayav. About shor cheresh shoteh v'katan, ema chershuto garmalo, katnuto garmalo, v'lipater. Let us say that there are other variables contributing to the damage that happened here, meaning that his incapacity is what caused the damage over here and not the bala boar, and therefore he should be patur. Kamash malan, that you're even patur in those cases. Amalei Rabach Ravina batanyo. Don't we have a bride that says, nafalu tocho bar dat patur? If someone with full capacities falls in, you are a patur. My love, shor bar dat. Must be that we're talking about a shor pikeach that fell in, and that's why you're a patur. Amalei lo, Adam. No, it's an Adam who has full capacity, such a Patur. Elamiata Adam ben Datu de Patur? You're telling me that only a person with full capacities that falls into a boar and dies, the balabor is Patur? Halav ben Datu de Chayav? If he doesn't have full capacities, that he's Chayav? Shor v'lo Adam k'tiv. The Pasuk says, sure, you are Chayav or Adam. Makes no distinction or differentiation between a bardat and a lav bardat. Even though there is some logic to that distinction, which is someone who has full capacities, you would have more expectations of them to not fall into a boar versus someone who's not that way. But nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't see or doesn't entertain that distinction, and we'll see in a second maybe why or the differentiation. Elamai bendat, min bendat. What does it mean, bendat? Bendat doesn't mean someone who has full capacities, but rather someone who is a thinking individual. Someone who normally has the ability to discern, and that's human beings in general. It's not about this particular human being or what their capabilities are. It's talking about humans in general. Amalei v'atanya. Problem is, I have a bright that explicitly says, Nafalu tocho shor ben da'at patur. The shor who has full capacities falls in there is patur. So that means that the interpretation of the previous bright, as well as our Mishnah, is that be'emet, a shor pikeach, is patur. Amarovo, this is the explanation. Shor v'ucheresh. Shor v'hu shoteh, shor v'hu katan, davka. Only those are pturim, unlike the explanation of Rabbi Yirmiyah that says that not only is it pikeach chayav, are you chayav for a shor pikeach, but you also chayav for these individuals? No, but for these types of animals in particular, you are chayav for. But hu pikeach, v'shor v'hu pikeach, if it's a shor with full capacities, you are patur. My taima, what's the reason? Debayle yune umazil. He should have been looking where he's going. We have certain expectations that a animal that is walking down the road doesn't just walk into a pit. He doesn't just put himself into danger. And therefore, there's an expectation that if an animal has full capacities, then he won't fall in there. If he falls in there, then the balabor is an ones because you would expect the animal to avoid such a pitfall, both literally and figuratively. So now that goes back to the question, why don't we say the same thing by Adam? And that we saw earlier in the Masechta that we drew a distinction, the Balei Tosafot, the Rosh, and others drew a distinction between Adam and a animal. The one is that the animal's eyes are facing down, whereas the human eyes are facing out forward. So then there's more expectation that the animal would be looking or seeing the pitfall that was ahead of them versus the Adam was looking out to the horizon and would not notice that which is there. And therefore we have a higher expectation of the animals than we do of an Adam. Or because of the fact that an Adam is a bardat, he's a thinking individual. Therefore he wanders, his thoughts carry him away from the present situation. There he's likely to be distracted from seeing what's in front of him. Unlike an animal which doesn't think, and therefore it's only got one thing to deal with, which is whatever's in front of it, and therefore it's more apt to see the pitfalls in front of it. For that reason, the Gemara before, even though it seemed logical to distinguish between Adam that's a bardat and Adam that's a la bardat, nevertheless the Gemara doesn't entertain that possibility because it believes that Adam as a whole is different than a behemah in terms of our expectations of their avoiding pitfalls. And therefore the Gemara didn't want to say, even though it's logical that there would be a difference between Adam bardat and Adam la bardat, because even Adam who's a bardat, we don't have those expectations that he's going to see that which is in front of him because either his eyes look out or because he can be easily distracted by other thoughts. And so for that reason, we have a rule by the behemah that if it's a pikeach, then we expect it to look, and if it falls in there, the balabor is an ones. If they are somehow incapacitated, whether they're cheresh, shoteh, makatan, and the animal therefore doesn't have those basic instincts not to go there, then the balabor is chayav because you can expect the animal to fall in that instance. On the other hand, when it comes to Adam, the Adam you're always chayav for because you can expect people will fall into obstacles or pitfalls that you put in the Rishut Rabbim. Tanya Nami Ochi, a braita that supports that understanding. Nafalu tocho shor cheresh shoteh v'katan v'suma umalech balayla chayav. So in all these cases, it was an unavoidable ones, and therefore the balabor is chayav. Either because the shor is incapacitated as a cheresh shoteh v'katan, or a suma because the shor or the animal is blind, or malech balayla, they're going at night, where there's nothing wrong with the animal itself, but the environment makes it that it'd be impossible for the animal to see the pitfall that was in front of them. On the other hand, if he's a pikeach and going during the day, if he has full capacities and it's during the daytime where he should have been able to see it, over there you are patur because of ibayle liyune. You should have looked where you were going. The fact that the animal didn't pay attention, didn't look where it's going, he carries that liability and not the bal habor. Interesting, the Rambam over here paskins the gabe this din, that when it comes to a short pikeach, that the balabor is only patur the gabei mita, if the animal dies in the boar. On the other hand, if the animal gets damaged in the boar, even if it's a short pikeach, the owner of the boar is chayav. The right bird around the spot questions the Rambam and says, why is there a difference between mita and nezek? They should be the same thing. The Gemara here makes no distinction. It says a short pikeach looks where he's going. So why should there be any distinction between mita and nezek? The Magid Mishnah over there explains that's because a behemah is no different than an adam, according to the Rambam, because he says koshkein behemah shein badat, that it's not going to look where it's going like a human being is. And therefore, when the Torah only excludes it from mita bedavka, shapikhut mayanot v'nishmarot b'mikshol gadol. And v'ein nishmarot matzvam v'nizakim. That animals are careful or instinctively don't fall into pitfalls when it's a major issue or a major pitfall. And so therefore, we can have expectations, according to the Rambam, that the animal will not put itself in a predicament that would lead it to death. Now then, the animal will put itself into predicaments that might lead to injury because it doesn't necessarily assess the situation properly. It can assess something as big as death, but it cannot assess smaller items that might lead to injury, and therefore that explains the Shita Rambam that distinguishes between Mita and Nezek. Whereas the Ravid sees a much cleaner distinction between Adam and Behemah, where he sees Adam being someone who does not look where they're going, versus a Behemah who always looks where they are going. Okay, now the next Mishnah begins. Echad Shor Vechad Kol Behemah. So even though the Torah specifies Shor in the Psukim, and even though the Mishnayot is speaking about Shor, it's not limited to Shor, it means Shor and any Behemah. That is true by Nefilat Abor, that's true by the Bor where we say that Benafal Shama Shor O Chamor. We're not saying particularly a Shor or Chamor, we mean any animal that falls in there. Shor and Chamor are just examples, as the Mishnah will say. So that's true in our case here, as well as other instances in the Torah. And that's what the Gemara is about to explain, L'Frashat Har Sinai, as well as the fact that when they were at the base of Har Sinai, waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the Torah, over there it says that they have to seal off, fence off the area of Har Sinai, because any man or animal that approaches Har Sinai will be killed. So over there it says, L'Tigabo Yad Kisakol Yisakelo Yaro Yiyareh Im Behema Imish Lo Yechiyah. And so therefore, it's not limited to the warning meaning of behemah, but includes any animal. And we'll see how the Gemara does this. Ula tashlume kefel, when it comes to paying kefel for a ganav, also over there, there's a specification of imi yonatzei timatzei biyadoa gneva, mishor ad chamor adse chayim shnai mishalim. So again, over there, there's a specification of three animals. You would have thought maybe it's limited to those three animals. So it says, no, it includes all behemot. Ula Shavata Veda, which we saw before the Psukim for Shavata Veda, which include four specified items. Nevertheless, we say L'chol HaVedat Achicha, that everything's included. Liprika, for unloading the animal when it's overloaded, that you have an obligation to help to unload the animal. So then, again over there, even though it says Azov Tazov Imo, that you must help him, and there it specifies Ki Tireh Chamor Son Acha Rovetz Tachat Maso V'chal Dal Tami Azov Lo Azov Tazov Imo. So again, there it only specifies Chamor. And you would think maybe it's only particular to a chamor. The answer is no, that it's all animals. And the same thing is true in Dvarim Chavet, where it speaks about Tina. It says, Lo tiret chamor achicho oshoro noflim baderech, italamta mehem hakeim takim imo. So there, when it talks about loading up, and as well in Parshat Mishpatim, where it talks about unloading, both those cases, in the case of Mishpatim, where it talks about unloading, it only mentions chamor. Over here, by the loading, it mentions chamor and shor. In both those instances, it's not limited to those animals, but it's inclusive of all types of animals. Ula chasima, where it says, lo tachsom shor bidisho, that you're not to muzzle a shor while it's working. Again, shor is not exclusive, but rather any animal. Uli kilayim, kilayim can manifest in two ways. One is harba'a, which is the crossbreeding of animals, as well as the fact that you can't work two animals together, which is lo tachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. So even there, over there, it's only specified as a shor v'chamor. It means any two species cannot work together. As well as by kilayim, so we're not allowed to do behem tachal lo tarbia kilayim. Even though it specifies behemah, it's inclusive more than just behemah. It means any two species. Ule shabbat, when it comes to shabbat, neseret adibrot, it says v'yom hashvi shabbat, L'Hashem Elokecha, lo taseh kol melacha ata, uvincha vitecha, avdecha v'amatcha, v'hemtecha, v'gercha asher b'sherecha. So over there it only mentions v'hemtecha in Parshat Yitro, and in Parshat Etchanan, it says, v'yom ha'shvi shabbat, L'Hashem Elokecha, lo taseh kol melacha ata, uvincha vitecha, v'avdecha v'amatcha, v'shorcha, v'chamorcha, v'kol v'hemtecha, v'gercha asher b'sherecha, l'maninuach avdecha v'amatcha kamocha. So over there it mentions v'hemtecha, shorcha, v'chamorcha. But again, that seems like a limited list. Again, by Shabbat, the Mishnah is telling us that means all behemot. V'chein chaya v'of kiyotzeben. So even though it only mentions either behemah, or only mentions shor v'chamor, or maybe se in some of these instances, It means everything, all animals, including chayot and ofot. Im kein lamin amer shor chamor. So then why did the Torah specify shor chamor if it really meant everything? El diber ha-katu be'ovet. It's just speaking about what the normal case is. It's giving you examples of cases that are common cases. But it doesn't mean that it's exclusive to those animals, but rather just examples with those animals, which are the most common examples. So now the Gemara goes through each of these items to understand why is it that it's not limited. So nefilat bor, which we already did on the previous amud, how come it's not limited to a shor chamor? That's because kesef yashiv lebaalav k'tiv. So therefore it says, kol deit lebaalim, kid amran. Anything that has owners, you are chayav for, so that would include chayav ofot. That's what we said already, or we explained on the previous amud. La fashat har sinai. How do we know by har sinai that that's the case? Im behema, im ish lo yichya. So it says behema. Behema is more inclusive than shor v'chamor, but it still does not necessarily include chaya and ofot. Or it says v'chaya bichlal behema havyo. The reason is that the word behema doesn't always just mean a domesticated animal. A behema can also include chaya. The proof to that, as Rashi notes over here, is from Parshat Re'eh, where the introductory psukim about animals that are kosher, animals that are tehorim, the Torah says, Zota behema asher tochelu, shor, se, ksavim, se, izim, ayal, vitzni, v'yachmur, alko, dishon, to'o, v'zamer. You see, under the category of behema asher tochelu, is included also behemot and also chayot. That are both behemot and chayot that are subsumed under the title of behemoth that you're allowed to eat. So you see that subsumed under the title of behema is also a chaya. Im is the rabot et ofot, because it says im behema. So the word behema includes chaya, and the word im includes ofot as well. Now even though this is something that already had happened, meaning that this is all in the past and really has no nafka min alalocha, still we need to understand the meaning of the psukim, and that's what the Gemara here is just explaining, the meaning of the psukim, as well as the fact that this pasuk cannot be learnt out of Shabbat, because this is pre-netinat aseret ha-dibrot, and therefore they don't have the din of Shabbat yet in order to influence what is the meaning of the word behema in this instance. The tashlume kefel, the kid amrinan, because, or we're going to learn further on the mesechta, kol davar pesha is a klal, kol davar pshiyan, any negligence will cause you to be responsible over here. And therefore, when the pasuk says, by the parsha of Shomer Chinam, who takes a shvua, denies the fact that he's responsible for the item, over there it talks about the possibility if it was stolen. It says, al kol davar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al seal, salma, al kol avida, sheyomar, yuzeh, ad alukim, yavod davar shneem, asher yishin alukim, yishalem shneim nereyu. So over there, that's a toein tanat gneva. So Shomer Chinam who claims that it was stolen. And in claiming that it was stolen, if he is found to be the one who is the thief himself, then he pays kefil. And the opening for that is al kol davar pesha, which is a klal, kol davar pshia, means anything that's included, that we'll learn later on in Perek HaMerubah. And because you have there a klal uprat uklal, because it says al kol davar pesha, al chamor, al seal, sama, kol aveda is another klal, so therefore through a klal uprat uklal, you can include all types of animals. Ashavat aveda, because it says the kol aveda tachicha, so that we already saw in the psukim aveda, that included there is the chol avedat achicha, anything that is lost, not just the items that are specified in the pasuk. And there it is a prat uchlal, and prat uchlal comes to include everything. So any lost item is under this category. Liprika, with regards to unloading the animal, yalif chamor, chamor mishabat. As we noted before, that with regards to unloading the animal in Parshat Mishpatim, there it only mentions chamor. That you can learn out, chamor, chamor mishabat. With regards to loading the animal, there it says chamor and shor. Over there, you could include it either from the word chamor or shor from Shabbat. You'll learn how to gzer shavo, or whether it's a giloi milta, to indicate to you that when it specifies the word chamor, it means more generally chamor, the all animals, and not just simply the chamor, or all animals, not the shor. The chasima, in terms of lo tachsom shor b'disho, you'll leave shor shor mi Shabbat. We're going to learn out that gzer shavo, giloi milta, of shor shor from Shabbat. The kilayim. In kilayim, which we told there are two manifestations. In kilayim, the harisha. If we're talking about kilayim, that you're not allowed to plow together, you leave shor shor mi Shabbat, because there it says lo tachrosh b'shor b'chamor yachdav. So over there we'll learn shor shor from Shabbat. Ikaim daharba'a. If you're talking about crossbreeding, you leave behem techa mi Shabbat. Because over there it says behem techa lo tarbi'a kilayim. And also the word behem techa is found by Shabbat. And so therefore we know that it'll be the same din as Shabbat. But now that we are pushing everything onto Shabbat and learning many of these items from the psukim by Shabbat, Rabbi Shabbat minolon. How do you know it's true by Shabbat? The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, B'dibrot HaRishonot Ne'emar, in the first Dibrot. Now, you have to be careful here. The truth is that the Torah gives two accounts of the Aseret HaDibrot, one in Parshat Yitro, And one in Parshat Elchanan and Sefer Dvarim. Both of those are referencing the Dibrot HaRishonot, the original time Moshe came down with the Luchot. And so therefore you can't read over here Dibrot HaRishonot as being the first Luchot, and Dibrot HaRishonot as being the second Luchot, because that's not true. These are both referencing the Luchot HaRishonot, and that is borne out by the Drasha of Chazal, by Zachor v'Shamor, one of which is Zachor, which is found in Parshat Yitro, and Shamor, which is found in Parshat Elchanan. And over there the Chazal tell us, Zachor v'Shamor, Nemru v'Dibur Echad, they were said all together. Hina, it is the same of the Dibrot. You can look in the Ramban al Torah by Parshat Yitro. He talks about that there are other differences to note. There are the Rishonim that note all the differences between the Rishonot, Rishonot, and the Luchot Shniot. Ramban says that all those differences are insignificant, with the exception of Zachor v'Shamor. All the other differences are just explanations or explications on what was written in Parshat Yitro. That's what's written in Parshat Elchanan, but not that these are different Dibrot. So again here, when we talk about Dibrot Rishonot, we're just talking about the Dibrot that are found in Parshat Yitro, not necessarily the first Luchot. As it says there, with regards to not doing work, V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbat Hashem Elokecha Lo Taseh Kol Melacha Ata Uvencha Uvitecha Avdecha V'matcha V'hem Techa. U'B'Dibrot Achronot in Sefer Dvarim it says, Ne'amar V'Shorcha V'Chamorcha V'Chol B'hem Techa. There in that same list, notes a Shor Chamor and a Behema. Hello Shor B'Chamor B'Klal Kol Behema Hayu. Shor and Chamor were subsumed under the title Behema. So lama yatsu. So then why did the Torah specify them if you already have v'chol b'chem techa? So malacha, ma shor v'chamor amur kan chaya ve'ofot ki yotze behen. Av kol chaya ve'of ki yotze behen. It's coming to teach you that just like the shor and the chamor over here are not exclusive to shor v'chamor, but it means any type of animal. So too, in any other place where you find shor and chamor, that is the meaning of them, which is that it includes chaya, oaf, and any other animal that is similar to them. Mar says, Ema, Behema did birot rishonot klau, shorcha v'chor marcha did birot rishonot prat. So why don't we say that the use of the term uvem techa in the first dibrot is a klau, a general principle. Then shor v'chamor in the second dibrot, meaning in Parshat Etchanan, is a prat, there are details. Now you have a general principle and then a prat afterwards, which we noted before means that the pratim, the details, are coming to explicate or define and qualify the klal. So ein b'klal masha paprat, and therefore the klal is defined by those pratim that are mentioned. Shor b'chamor in mi de'achrin alo. Then I would have said shor b'chamor are the only things that are under this restriction of working on Shabbat, but nothing else. So amreik b'chol b'em techa. What about the fact that it says b'chol b'em techa in Parshat Etchanan afterwards? The dibro d'achronot. Therefore chazar b'klal. Therefore there's a klal afterwards. Then it's a klal u'prat u'klal. Iya da'adan elokein prat. Ma prat mufrash bali chayim, afko bali chayim. So let us say that it is any live item, any live animal will be included, and that's how we include it through a klal uprat uchlal. Now even though generally we do not darshan a klal uprat uchlal when we're dealing with things all halfway across the Torah, meaning something from Parshat Yitro all the way to Parshat Dvarim, as the Bali Tosafot note over here, lo chashiv le klal uprat hamruchakim zeh mizeh, they're not too far away from each other. Dachronot rishonot chadamiltai, because they, the quote that are written in Parshat Yitro and Etchanan are identical. They're the same thing. Therefore, the Zachor v'Shamor v'Dibrot Nemru, like we noted before, that these are the same account of the same incident, and therefore it's considered to be all one. Mar says, V'ema ma'ba shaprat mufurash davar shniblato mitamei b'magal masa. Av kol davar shniblato mitamei b'magal masa. Shor and Chamor have a common denominator that their nevela is mitamei b'magal masa. But that would exclude aval ofot, lo. That would exclude ofot from the picture. Samreim ke nechtob rachman achad prato. Then the Torah should have just written Shor or Chamor, not both of them. Eichtob Rachmana. Which one should the Torah have written? Ikadav Rachmana Shor. Havamina Karev Legamizbeach Inch. Eno Karev Legamizbeach Lo. Similar to what we saw in the previous Amud. That if he had just written Shor, then things that go on the Mizbeach, you would have thought are included, nothing else. Kadav Rachmana Chamor. Therefore the Torah writes Chamor, which doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Ikadav Rachmana Chamor. Had you just written Chamor, Havamina Kadosh Bibichora Inch. Eno Kadosh Bichora Lo. Therefore Kadav Rachmana Shor. So that's why I wrote Shor and Chamor, to tell you that each one of them has a Chumran. Even though Shor himself also is a din of Bichor, nevertheless, Chamor's only aspect of Kedusha is it being a Bichor, versus Behema, where it has been, the other aspect of it being Karev Mizbeach is more important than the fact that it can be a Bichor. And those two chumrot will cancel each other out. Ella, what you have to say is v'chol b'emtecha ribu yahu. That is an inclusionary term that comes to include all animals. Gemara says v'chol heicha dichtav rachmana kol ribu yahu. Fact that it says kol at the end there, that's an inclusionary term. Kol means to come to include everything. V'agavi maser dichtiv by maser sheni. When you have to bring it up to Rishalayim, it says there kol. The word kol is used v'kadashin and lebi klalu prat. And we still are duration in the methodology of klal uprat uchlal, the tani. Venatata kesa b'chol asher taven nafshecha. Babakar, batzon, bayayinu b'shechar b'chol asher tish alacha nafshecha. B'chal tasham lifnei shem lechecha, zemachta taveitecha. Venatata kesa b'chol asher taven nafshecha. That's the opening of the pasuk. Bakar, tzon, yayin, shechar. Those are pratim. And then you have b'chol asher tish alacha nafshecha. Again, a klal. And we darshan from that. Klal uprat uchlal, yata adani, again, a prat. You include all items that are similar to the prat. Ma prat mufrash pri, mi pri, vigadule karka, something that reproduces itself. Embedded in the item itself is the ability to reproduce. That's true of fruits, vegetables that have seeds in them, as well as animals that also have that ability. Gdule karka, things that grow from the ground. Over here we have a broader definition of gdule karka. It doesn't mean literally they have to grow from the ground, but they have to be sustained from the ground to the exclusion of items that are not supported from the ground, like fish, or water, fungi, mushrooms, salt. All those items will be excluded from what you can use the ma'ot ma'susheni to purchase. Avkomi primi primi gdule karka. It's amre, bikol klola, kol ribuya. When it's bikol, then it's a part of a klal, or a general inclusionary term. Kol is a riboy that comes to include everything, meaning that it's not part of a klal prat uchlal, but rather a complete inclusionary term that says to include everything. Ibai teima kol nami klalohu. Some say that the distinction of bikol and kol is not a distinction that is true. Whether it's bikol or kol, they both are klalim, general principles, but not inclusionary terms. Miu haid kol dahocha ribuyu. But on the other hand, the kol here, v'chol behem techa, is a riboy. Because we already have a precedence for the language here, which is ubem techa, which is written in Parshat Yitro. Here, when you come to Parshat Elchanan, fine, you added in shor v'chamor, but then why did you add in the word v'chol ubem techa? Just write ubem techa. The chol over there is an extraneous language. It's not just a klal, because we could have gotten the klal from the word bem techa. The v'chol is completely extraneous, and that's what makes it into a ribuy. To tell you that it's an inclusionary term over here, to include more than just a normal klal prat uchlal, but rather to be like a riboy miut riboy, where the riboy includes everything, and that the miutim only exclude very particular items, but otherwise everything's included. And so therefore the extraneous word kol tells us to use that methodology of limud rather than a klal prat uchlal. Hashta amart kol ribuyu, b'emtecha de dibrot mishnot, v'shor v'chamor dibrot achornot lamalit. Once you establish that b'chol b'emtecha comes to include everything, then you have to question why the shor chamor and the b'emtecha from Parshat Yitro are meaningful. Saimre, shor le'gmure, shor le'chasima, chamor le'gmure, chamor le'prika. So shor v'chamor is easy to understand because we're going to use those as vehicles to learn to other items that shor v'chamor do not mean exclusively shor chamor, but are more inclusive of all animals. B'emtecha from Parshat Yitro, le'gmure b'emtecha, b'emtecha le'kilayim. To teach you b'em techa lo tarbiya kilayim, to learn that, gzer shova b'em techa, iyachi afilo adam litzar. If that's the case, then even a person should be asur with regards to kilayim. Because, including the psukim there, when we're speaking about who has the rest, over there it tells you who has the rest is shorcha, chamorcha, b'em techa, but also all the people of your household. So if they're included in that term, and now you're saying subsumed under that term, when you now go and extrapolate that, when you go and learn Xer Shov to other items, that includes everything written here in these psukim. Not only does it include animals, it includes human beings. And therefore, human beings should be subject to all the rulings over here of Lo Tachsom Shor V'Disho, of Prika, and Lo Tachros Shor V'Chamor Yachtav. Alama Tanan, why do we have a Mishnah that states otherwise in Kilayim? Adam Mutar Mikulam Lachros V'Lim Shoch. You can have a human being pulling, working together with an animal to do the same item, and that's not a violation of kilayim, of two species working together. Samra Papa, Papunai, Yadei Taima Da Milta. The one from Papunai knows the answer to this. Uman Rabacha Bar Yaakov, who is from Papunai? Amakra, the Pasuk says there in Dvarim, in Parshat Etchanan, Laman Yanuach Abdecha Vamatcha Kamocha. In order that your servant and maidservant should rest like you, Lanacha Hikashti Velo Davar Cher. That Eved and Amah, or human beings, are only included in the aspect of rest. They are included in the Pasuk as a whole, but they're not included in the other riboy of the Pasuk to say that they will then affect other limudim that derive from this Pasuk. So they have an exclusive din in resting, but they are not included in the Gzeirut Shavot of Shor and Chamor and Behem Techa that we learn to other items. And for that reason, it's only about the animals and not about the human beings, and therefore it will not apply the dinim of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho or Lo Tachrosh B'Shor B'Chamor Yachdav and all the other items of prikat tinah would not be applicable to human beings. And even though there is a din of prikat, or to help out another fellow Jew who is carrying too heavy a load to unload them, that din does not come out of the din of prikat, but rather of the basic din of aftal recha kamocha, or gemilut chasadim, not deriving from the pasuk that demands that you unload an animal. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Nundalid Amud Bet.